You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. My name is Cora Zahn. Joining me is international zine correspondent Luke Sinclair. And now it's time for Zine.
Good afternoon, Cora. Great to be here this week.
We'd like to start the program with your personal definition of a zine. So let's have it, Luke.
My definition of what is a zine is an independent publication. A zine is a small handmade magazine. A zine is usually made by an individual or a small group of individuals. A zine maker always has full creative control of their project. A zine is often photocopied. A zine is often stapled. A zine is always made for love and not for profit. And a zine can break one or all of these rules and still be a zine.
And we've got some amazing special guests on the program today.
We do. We have lots of special guests. Joining us today, we have Amelia Lee, El Natalotto, M. Duan, Ella Edgley, and the artist Peter Tindall, who is showing currently at Buxton Contemporary in an exhibition which is showing until April the 16th. Welcome to all of you.
Hello.
Thank you.
Now, we've invited all these exciting people on the show today because there is a zine component in this exhibition. Elle, do you just want to start off just by telling us a little bit about the project?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much. So I was the exhibition designer for the Peter Tindall exhibition that you just mentioned that's open at the moment at Buxton Contemporary. And I was fortunate enough to spend a number of hours in Peter's studio as we were starting to come up with a concept and the design for the exhibition and how it would look. And I was kind of overwhelmed with every time we would open a drawer, we would find, you know, would be bursting with other incredible pieces of work. I started to think, you know, what are the different ways that we might be able to include all of this content? And, you know, Buxton only has so much space and so many rooms. And I also teach graphic design at VCA. And so we started to talk about potentially how we could think about creating a brief for students, a project that might engage them with some of this material that we really wanted to include in the exhibition.
So once the idea was there, how did you pitch this idea to the students? How do you explain to a group of students that they have to make a zine? What is your approach?
Well, so there were some pretty sort of strict parameters in terms of the format of what this brief was. So the zine had to be A5 size. It had to be 16 printed pages just because we wanted to work with kind of one section. And the zines were intended to engage with one of three specified strands of Peter's practice. So it could be engaging with his body of work, which is referred to as slave guitars, with Peter Tindall's correspondence works, or with sort of broadly what we referred to as protests. And I wonder, maybe Peter, it's a good time for you to expand on some of those three strands.
Yes, well, the slave guitars would be a lead into some of my engagements with music and the music scene. There was an actual, in the exhibition, there was a guitar of unique design, which is an extension of a marionette puppet design with the cross form above, and that's been gone from a diagram on the page representing harmony and discord and manipulation of audiences and so forth, and actually been made as a physical guitar, and having made a guitar at the time. And so this is a very early 1979 sort of punk, post-punk era, when there was a terrific amount of music in Melbourne. Hello, Luke.
I'm just excited to hear about this studio, which time was spent in. Are you someone has a pristine, clean studio which you rearrange every 20 minutes? Or is it a little bit more messy than that? How would you describe your studio?
As a heap. It's I've got a terrific studio. It's purpose-built and so forth. But like so many other artists' studios, after some time, they're almost all chock-a-block. We do more work than we can distribute into the world. So there's always a matter of pushing things around. But
There is incredible amounts of work in the exhibition. There was more kind of been found in drawers and the like of that. Could you have filled 20 gallery spaces as big as Buxton? Or are we talking 50 gallery spaces? How many are we talking?
We could have done the show at that level of obviously substantial and realised works sometimes over. Quite a few people who've known my work said, how come such and such, how come the football work isn't in it? How come the work that's in the Archibald Prize isn't in it? There are no works in it from the Queensland Art Gallery collection, and that they've got a substantial amount. There are none from the Art Gallery of New South Wales, none from Canberra, none from the Art Gallery of South Australia, none from the Art Gallery of Western Australia, and all these galleries have substantial collections. So, hello.
I just wanted to say something that was so wonderful about your the amazing broadness of your body of work was it was wonderful to be able to use that in the zine project. We had so much material to choose from and so many different genres that we could use to narrate our own story of, for me, it was your slave guitars theme.
I met with some friends last night, local friends who came down and visited the show yesterday, and they're not art people as such. They're not artists. They're not involved in the art scene, so they really only know contemporary art largely through me. And they said that they were surprised by the enormous variety of means and content. Ella was responding to me, saying everything everywhere all at once before I understood that was actually a film. I thought we were just agreeing conceptually. So zines are part of Everything Everywhere All at Once, and we're all in the edgeless, fascinating world together. So, everything is kind of interest to me. I don't see any reason to suddenly see something and declare that I have no interest in that. everything comes at us all the time. So zines have a history of that's in that same spirit, you know. It's very open. It's always been very open and able and possible and immediate. So that's very much in that character of engaging with the breadth of the world as it comes at us and responding quickly. So I was really, it wasn't my thought, but I was really pleased when Ella took it and pushed it so well.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is Zine.
We're joined by M. Doohan, who has made a zine, a beautiful-looking zine called Slave Guitars, as part of the Peter Tindall exhibition currently showing at Buxton Contemporary. I want to start by asking, how did you start this zine project? What was the first kind of step you took to make this zine?
So I'll give a little bit of background. So this project was given to us in our third year design capstone, and the brief was designed by Ella. And we started off by talking about what the requirements were. So it was creating a zine with a certain amount of pages. And then we actually had Simon Maiden come in, and he gave us a brief about briefing on Peter Tindall's practice. And I found this is really influential for figuring out what I wanted to do with the zine. And then from that and becoming more acquainted with Peter's practice, I kind of saw a striking similarity between how Peter looks at the reflexivity of art into looking at the art world, looking at the framing device, and by extension, everything that surrounds the gallery. And I kind of used that and thought of, well, graphic design in some ways does the same thing. We're there to support written content, images, and present that and visually communicate that to an audience. So that kind of formed the basis of what I wanted to do. And I also took this as an opportunity to do a lot of hands-on work. As a designer, I really love to make tangible physical things. So I went through all the archive material that was beautifully collated for us by the MCA and printed everything out. And I would similarly say that my bedroom that turned into my design studio was a heap. There was paper everywhere. If you walked in, you would have thought I was a mad woman, but that's okay. And I slowly started rearranging these pieces of paper to try and create, you know, striking compositions. And I found myself when I was doing these page designs as well to kind of isolate what was on the page and what wasn't. I created a frame for myself. And when I was editing those photos, I said, instead of cutting the frame out and cropping that out, I'm actually going to leave it in there because I think it talks back again to this is my project, which is framing art that then frames more art and things like that. So that was really fun.
So the zines are currently, as you walk into Buxton Contemporary, the zines are just there on the table to be picked up by anyone who would like the zines. Have you been loitering around the zine table and seeing how people are responding to your work?
Yes, I have. I've actually got some photos on my phone of people engaging with them. Had to send it to Mum, being like, Mum, look, I'm in a gallery. It's really cool. And, yeah, it's really wonderful. And I think it's a great way to introduce an exhibition and walk into a gallery space. I think that sometimes it can be intimidating, you know, the white walls with the art on them that you're meant to engage with very sincerely. So I think having something playful like a zine, which is made by, you know, students, young adults engaging with this sort of art is a beautiful way to introduce people to Peter's work.
Well, what about you, Peter? Have you been loitering in the gallery as well? Do you put on a fake moustache or anything?
I've done that in the past, and hearing Em say that, I think that's a terrific thing to do, just for personal research to see to see responses, because particularly as design, that you know that's all about communication and the way to assess your result is clearly to observe how people respond to your work and to do that anonymously. And in the past when I was formulating and trying to understand the level at which I would engage with art and art galleries, it was observing the response of people in galleries. And often I've even joined in twice over the years, found a tour and followed it past a work of my own, and to listen to that and just to accept whatever is said as very rare and useful information. And I learn a lot about that, you know, the level at which other people are reading and so forth. And so I take that as sincere direction, to adjust my own broad expectations of alternative readings, for instance. You know, how do I accept that these facts that I can't change, you know, I can't direct the world to a singular meaning, so how do I embrace an infinite variety of readings and so forth? And so that kind of observation is at the base of my own work, yeah, which is about the act of looking and consciousness.
I think what was really interesting as the students were responding to this brief was watching how they kind of digested what you were doing. And as graphic designers who are working alongside somebody that has a visual practice, learning how to kind of negotiate how much you want the designer to be seen in that, or you know, how much you want to kind of put the artist's work to the fore. Mm-hmm. And I think, Em, in your response, you had a real beautiful sensitivity to that. You know, you're in that zine, but it still is really, it's about kind of unpacking that body of work, Slave Guitars.
I think something that I really enjoyed, the freedom of the brief to figure out how you would construct that zine, because with the beautiful introduction of Luke, zines are all these certain things, but then again, you can break all those rules and they can be something completely different. So we were told that we could construct them by using two staples in the middle. And I said, hang on, I want to do something different. And I was able to do that. So I actually printed out my zine on a big A1 piece of paper, and there aren't separate pages. It's just that one piece with a cut in the middle, which means that I think it transforms the publication into a sculptural object. And it just gave me an opportunity to create a backside to all the pages you look at. And if you flip it around and fold it in different ways, it provides more information. Like one of my favorite aspects of that is if you fold two of the pages inwards, it completes the initial drawing of Peter's for the Slave Guitars, which I think is a beautiful way to conclude it, going through this journey of how the work has been iterated in different ways to then bring it back to that original sketch.
Had you made any zines before, or was this the first time for you?
This was in this brief was the first time I even heard the word zine. I said, what are you talking about? Is it zine? Is it zine? Magazine? Okay, I think I get it now. But I think from then I really saw a beauty in creating something that's published and is print design, but is manufactured by yourself. Because it affords these liberties of not having to go through a big printing studio and not being able to produce something really quickly, because that is a timely process. Mm-hmm. And I actually fell in love with zines, and I was taking a gender studies subject, and I submitted my last reflective essay in the form of a zine as well. So that, yes, this brief definitely sparked my joy for creating zines. Mm.
just on that spirit of doing it yourself and doing it quickly, Slave Guitars, as I said, late 1979, and around that time in Melbourne, there was a as part of the music scene, pub music scene, there was a project called the Little Bands, and you can look that up online, and that was basically whoever the lead band for the night was would bring their equipment on, they'd play a set and leave their amps and guitars and whatever on stage, and it would have been organised previously that, you know, up to maybe a dozen or so other people would get up, possibly with their own guitar or just using what was there, and do a single song or maybe or a piece of music and maybe two. So there was an enormous turnover of bands, and you can think of it the same way as zines. It just meant that everybody got to do something on stage, for better and for worse, and it was very exciting, and it was kind of very democratic. It wasn't your sort of hard bound book, to use that analogy, but it was just the voice, the music of the people, and the zines are part of that kind of street immediate. We can, let's do it tomorrow. We've got something on. We do a zine tonight. You know, that's the spirit, isn't it, Luke?
Yeah, that sounds great.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is Zine.
We're joined by Elle Natalotto, who's worked as part of this zine project in conjunction with the Peter Tyndall exhibition at Buxton. Elle, can you tell us how you approached your zine as part of this?
Yeah, so I approach the project like I approach most things, which is I try and find a way that I can incorporate a more tactile form of working. So I really enjoy illustrative art. First took a really big deep dive into Peter's work through his blog, because I loved that he chose to incorporate images that showed the references for the drawings that he was doing in his notebook sketch series. So I do have a spread in my zine as well that includes a little collage that shows both the sketches as well as the influences that they had came from. And through doing that processing and that researching, I sort of I had pages that I had done little sketches where I was sort of imitating his style to create additional illustrations that were incorporated into my zine. The core concept that I wanted to work around was having the centerfold being something that people could pull out with the instructions to cut it out and create that framing device that is so prevalent through all of Peter's work. And I wanted to approach the zine as something that existed as an extension of the exhibition that could be taken outside of the gallery space and really hit that like meta line of thinking that a lot of Peter's work, especially the ones that do touch on that framing device, tend to carry through.
How did you go time-wise? We often get people coming into Sticky and looking at these tiny little artworks and thinking, oh, they've probably spent 5 minutes on that. How much time do you think it took you to make this scene?
I couldn't even begin to, like, assume. I think I did maybe two all-nighters back-to-back, so, like, four nights without sleep. So I was just like, I got to get them done because I've passed the deadline. And, like, I think I get a bit over-ambitious with how I approach my work because I did do a lot of physical collaging as well. So there was, like, cutting words out of magazines that I used to form other adjectives and actions that I incorporate into that work. So there was a lot of physically cutting and creating things, drawing things, scanning them, and then creating digital assets with them that I then had to compile and organize into this scene format. So my style of work is very chaotic. So it's very much something that I hyperfixate on, and it'll be something that like I live and breathe for a couple of days and then I just rest afterwards. I'm like, once it's done, it's done.
Ella, what is going to happen to these zines if there's any left that are not picked up at the exhibition?
Well, they're flying out the doors. We just did another really big print run of them. I think, you know, the nicest thing about being able to offer something like this to the public and to audiences that come is that often, you know, exhibition catalogs can be really expensive, and that becomes really prohibitive. So the Buxton Contemporary sits on the campus of the BCA at Southbank. So when we think about the amount of students that are walking through and visiting the exhibition, it's really nice for people to be able to take something else home and to sort of, you know, have it linger on their bookshelf and sort of reflect over a longer period of time without there being a, you know, $50 or $60 kind of commitment to purchase something, because, you know, not everybody can afford to do that. So it's just, yeah, I don't know. It was really so amazing how much Buxton got behind this project and sort of funded it and gave us all these resources so the students could also have a real world outcome, you know, really working with the parameters of getting a file from your computer to print. So I don't know what will happen with what's left. There may be none left.
Yeah, that's right.
I gotta say, I did pick up one of each and felt like I was getting a very generous armful of zines as I kind of walked out of the door. It felt very nice, very special to be given, you know, such a pile of artwork as I was leaving there.
Maybe the leftover zines, if there are any, they'll go into Peter's drawers in his studio.
I want someone to start mailing them to you, Peter.
and more important, they go into other people's drawers, and I know in my own over the years, you know, there are so many things like this that I've collected, you know, and as artists and interested people, we tend to do this, and they become a touchstone for the whole show. You know, you look at one thing and the other, and you're reminded of the day you went and the people you met and all sort of the particular things that you liked. And I've got so many of these little touch points of my own, you know, from over the years, fellow artists and so forth. And each one, you know, an invitation card takes you straight back to the show that you got it from. And so they're not just things in themselves, you know. Again, to use that word used earlier, they're portals, and they've very quickly, they become a matrix and take you back and all over the place again. So But they have the stamp on it of the person who've made it, you know, and that's significant and important, and lots of good things about it.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is Zine.
Peter, have you ever made a zine yourself?
But by your definition, which allows us to break all the rules, I have. I've made some things in the same spirit, on paper, Xeroxed, folded. Not so much in that spirit of distributed at gigs and events and so forth, but particularly in the past, what sometimes comes under a generalised umbrella of mail art, but for me and others, just of sharing things together. Again, particularly in the early 80s, folded A4, A3 pieces. There was one series I did in under the heading of Bricks and Mortar. And again, that could be anything would go into that content under that banner, and I've sent those out over the years. Also, I've made quite a lot of postcards in the past and sent them out. They can be, they're brought, as far as I'm concerned, they're part of the same thing. They're easily made, they're shared with friends and you know, fellow travellers, and it's kind of like distribution art, isn't it? It's something like that, you know. Zines and postcards and other things can all come under that. I've engaged with it, yeah.
So what kind of content would you have on these pieces of folded A3 or A4 paper? I'm excited now. This is going to be very intrigued.
One that comes... Well, again, because everything's of interest to me, and bricks and mortar, I can remember once I attended Gary Ablett Sr.'s the game where he kicked his 1,000th goal or something like that at Geelong, and... so I'd done a little cartoon of that, and there was a photo in the newspaper of the crowd at the time, and I had an arrow pointing to one of the heads and saying, "This is me, I was here." So that was simply shared. I was talking with these same friends last night that I mentioned before. They were surprised at the variety of my interests, and I said, "Well, you know, in the past, there's been these kind of binary splits, you know, if you're interested in sport, then supposedly you're not interested in culture or art, or if you're interested in music, you're not interested in something else. And that's not true. You know, most of my friends have broad interests, as I think we probably all do. And, you know, we're intersecting this with music, for instance. We could just as easily... you know, spend the hour talking about our musical interests. So bricks and mortar at the time was just another vehicle for me to engage with more or less anything that was happening that I wanted to share with others. And it's usually been that way. Sometimes I might bring down to a specific focus on, say, the act of looking or something like that. But more often than not, everything gets funneled into whatever the present sort of expression is, or means of expression is.
So the exhibition, Peter Tindall, is running at Buxton Contemporary, Dodd Street, South Bank, right through until April the 16th. Anyone have any last suggestions for something people should really spend their time standing in front of while they're at the exhibition before we reach the end of the interview?
I will say that one of my favourite artworks was something that that Peter created while the exhibition was being put together, which is, if you go upstairs, there's a beautiful big lift that you can travel up and down in, and it has I think like more than two doors that slide outwards, and Peter used some tape to recreate one of his very pivotal works, which is just a square box with two lines that is meant to represent the frame and the art world, and as the elevator opens, those lines slide out and they come back in. And I just thought that was really wonderful.
It's literally, physically, a portal.
Yes.
On the front of the door, it has an image of a portal connected, and it actually opens, and you go inside it. So it's it was just a terrific bonus that Ella and some of the staff suggested I might do, and it's worked beautifully.
I mean, the most exciting thing of working alongside Peter and with all the amazing team at Buxton on the install is that Peter rocked up with a roll of tape one morning, and we were kind of looking at something else, and the tape sat on the floor, on the ground floor, and we kind of went through room by room, wall by wall, installing the works. And as we were upstairs, the hardworking installers took a minute break, and Peter and I were standing there, and there was no one there, I guess, to stop us. And it was like, Peter, do you want to make a work here? And he sat in front of it, and in 3 minutes drew in his classic Spirex this beautiful work, and then all of a sudden, and then he's up there and taping it up, no OH&S, standing on a chair, and then this beautiful work was born. And I watching this unfold, and you just think, how? And it's perfect. It's just a roll of duct tape.
I remember a quote from Octavio Paz years ago. I think it was in a book called Children of the Mire, and it was speak as if you're being burned at the stake. And that's so again, we come back to the immediacy of things. You know, you don't equivocate, you just go straight to the point. And a lot of my art has been about trying to be clear, immediate, and direct and present. You know, as we're talking together now, we're constructing this, and it's it flows, and speak now or forever hold your peace, sort of thing. Yeah. Oh, zine now or forever.
Oh, wow, that's fabulous.
thank you all so much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the program today. It's been so special.
Yeah, terrific. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And please do get down to the Peter Tindall exhibition, Buxton Contemporary, Dodge Street, South Bank, right through until April the 16th.
And go pick up some zines.
Yes. Zines are right there on the table as you walk in, and there's a beautiful sign which says, please, please pick up the zines and take them away with you. So please do that. Take away an armful of zines. We're going to go out with Dusty Springfield with The Look of Love.
Look of love, is in your eyes, the look your heart can't disguise, the look. Just words.